In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was the governor of Galilee, Luke likes to do that. Luke likes to set his gospel in the context of what is happening politically, and it's handy, it's helpful narratively for us to sort of know the political and the religious context of when something is happening. So three times in Luke's gospel, Luke will say, this was happening when Emperor Tiberius was in his sixth reign or whatever. But in addition to it being helpful, I think it has a deeper meaning, a meaning that shows sort of the contrast and the point that Luke is trying to make in this gospel. He starts with this sort of the big picture of all the important people, the people that get our attention and our focus. It's the 15th year when Tiberius was emperor and Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea and Herod was responsible for Galilee and Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. And those are the people that get all the headlines. And those are the people where we think, like, that's what's important. What's important is what happens when Tiberius is emperor and Pontius Pilate is responsible for Jerusalem. That is what is going to matter. And what Luke does is on that, against like all of the big important people, he says, and over here, there's this little voice crying out in the wilderness. And what Luke is going to show in this gospel is that what really matters, where the future of humanity really hangs, isn't here, but it's there. And in reality, the only reason I know the name of Pontius Pilate or Emperor Tiberius is because of John the Baptist. And his message cried out in the wilderness. And the one that he was proclaiming, the coming Jesus, who was born in a backwater nowhere. And part of what Luke is saying is don't get distracted by the people that are garnering all the headlines. Don't think that the future of humanity hangs there. What Luke is saying is the future of humanity hangs here. Not with the important people that we think rule the world, but rather in a small voice crying out in the wilderness. And our future as the human race or the human family all hangs on that message. So what is this message that John is proclaiming? John is proclaiming out in the wilderness. He is proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, I cannot talk about that word repentance without talking about what that word really means. And I know many of you have heard this before, but every time it comes up, I promise you I'm going to say the same thing. Because it is so important that we understand that the Greek word, when John the Baptist says, or Luke says, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, that word repentance, the Greek word is metanoia. It's been translated poorly, or at least we hear it. What we hear when we hear the word repent is like stop doing a bad thing. What the word really means is change the way you think, change the way you see the world. Metanoia, noia is gnosis. Metanoia is go beyond the mind or change your mind or think differently. It's deeper than just stop doing some bad behavior. It has to do with this entire conversion of your being. Look at the world in a different way. See the world in a different way. John is proclaiming a baptism of seeing the world in a completely different way that leads to the forgiveness of sins, the freeing of sins, the freeing us from our bondage. And it invites us to think about how our minds work in relation to the things we do that we label as sin, the things we do that we label as wrong. And the way my mind works, my mind is very sticky, is very clingy when it comes to things I do wrong. And my mind is very sticky and very clingy when it comes to things that you do wrong that bother me. And when I do something wrong, I hold on to that. Like, I hold it close to my heart, and that's who I am. And I look at you and the things that you do, not that you've ever done anything wrong, but we have this tendency, the way our mind works, is that we see ourselves through the things we do wrong, and we see other people through that. And what John is saying is he's offering this way of being, this baptism into grace and love, where we change the way our mind works so we can live in forgiveness and love with one another, so we are not constantly defining other people and defining ourselves by our brokenness and how we're wrong. And it's not saying that we can't disagree, but the problem is that when we move from disagree to disdain, and we are constantly sending other people to hell in our hearts and constantly sending ourselves to hell in our hearts. And what this whole passage is saying is that we focus so much on what the fancy leaders are doing and who's garnering the headlines, and we're thinking that's where we need to fight the battle, when the real battle is in our own hearts. And while we may not be able to do anything about that, we can begin to do a lot about this. So while all of that was going on and everyone was being distracted by that, there's this voice in the wilderness crying out, inviting us to change the way we see the world, to live in forgiveness. And I'm struck by sort of the microness of it all, the sort of granularity of it. We seem to get anxious about this big picture over here when John and Luke are calling us to this place right here. And it sort of fits in with this drama that we're on, this journey that we're on with the church calendar. Last week, the first Sunday of Advent, the message of the first Sunday of Advent is things aren't okay. Things are not okay. And not just things are not okay in our own lives or in our nation or in the world, but the first Sunday of Advent is saying things are not okay cosmically. The moon is turning to blood and the stars are falling from the sky. The first Sunday of Advent is sort of grabbing us by the lapels and saying things aren't okay. Wake up. Wake up. The second Sunday of Advent says, if you want to do something about the fact that things aren't okay, go here. Listen to the voice crying out in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord by changing the way that you think about yourself and other people. To open your vision of yourself and other people to the transforming work of grace and love, so that you can be a member of the human family rather than the human race. And in Luke's gospel, in the message of John the Baptist, that is how we fulfill this message of Isaiah, where Isaiah is saying, prepare the way of the Lord. The valleys will be filled and the mountains will be brought low, and the rough places will be made smooth. And the way that happens in your life is through a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, a baptism of new thinking, of new being, of new loving, so that we can live in forgiveness with one another. We have to start there. And this message on the second Sunday of Advent is simply that. It's to open yourself to this grace of a new way of seeing yourself and seeing other people in love. So the message to you on this second Sunday of Advent is, in the second year of the presidency of Donald Trump, while Jerry Brown is the governor of California, and Michael Curry was presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, a voice was crying out at St. Ambrose Episcopal Church, coming through the scriptures of Luke's gospel, inviting you, inviting us, to open our hearts and open our minds to a new way of being human, a new way of looking at one another through the eyes of love. And it's being open to that is how we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ anew.